Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Nikki Seberini. Of course, this is the show where we connect you through insights and information and illumination. And we always talk about the DL Link, creating this link within families, within communities, supporting people through their dark times. And it's so interesting because our first guest, we just see yet more links taking place. And sometimes many years later, there are things at play that we don't fully understand. But when we watch these links and these synchronicities rise up time and time again, which I witness on this show all the time, I'm always comforted. And I know that there is a much bigger plan. So before Lynn joins us, before Lynn Sherlock joins us, I just want to talk to the runners and the riders, and perhaps you are a runner and a rider, and of course to you, our incredible DL Link supporters, because something really big is coming. For the first time ever, we're going to be heading to Cape Town. So Cape Town Marathon, only it's going to be pretty extraordinary because it's on its way to becoming one of the majors. So it's all about a new city. It's all about a new race. And of course, the same very powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before, or if you're ready for your first big challenge, well, then this is your moment. Because all you have to do is join Team DL Link, help us make it huge and loud and proud and deeply meaningful. And it's as simple as that. And for the riders, just mark your calendars because Ride Joburg is coming up on October the 26th. So save the date. It's one mission, two cities, both of them on Sundays. So let's run, let's ride. Most important, let's make it count. So for more information, email events@dllink.co.za. That is events@dllink.co.za. You know, it was maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago that wonderful, it was just before the charity event, and Monica De Santos came onto the show, a young 31-year-old mother of three who, in her words, slayed cancer twice. What an unbelievable disposition she has, so positive. And the question was around, how did she come into contact with the DL Link? And she expressed how she had been reading a book called The Man Behind the Mask, written by Lynn Sherlock. And, you know, all about Chris's journey, his cancer journey, with lots of information. And in the book, Lynn talks about the DL Link and what they do. And this is how Monica came into contact with the DL Link. And the rest is pretty much history. So we are really very excited to invite Lynn Sherlock back onto the show. She first came onto the show in 2017. That was a long time ago. That was sort of when I started with the DL Link. And I remember that. And Shirley, Lynn's husband, Chris, had passed on the 14th of January, 2016, from a brain tumor. And she had written this book. It's a book that he wanted to, but she wrote it. And how extraordinary, all these years later, the impact that it is making and the circle, the link, continually creating between past and present and future, and of course the DL Link being this stabilizing, holding, amazing community driven organization. So Lynn, welcome. So lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Welcome, welcome back. So did you meet Monica?
No, in fact, the first I heard of her was when you guys called me about, you know, having heard about the book. And then I went back and listened to her interview and where she referred to the book. So no, I've never physically met her.
Isn't it amazing to know? Because we want to hear all about Chris. what an extraordinary human being he was. And he really wanted to write this book. But unfortunately, he deteriorated pretty quickly. And you made a pledge to him and you said, I will write this book, which must be quite daunting, knowing that Chris was a 5-time published author. But knowing that this book has impacted lives, how do you feel, Lynn, hearing about the story of Monica, who read your book and that put her in touch with the DL Link, and then that shifted her cancer journey?
You know what, Nikki? I wrote the book to, A, because I promised Chris, and B, because I hoped it would help people. And I know there are some people who have read it either before or after their partners pass away. But for Monica to get her in touch with the DL Link, I'm actually very happy that something good came out of it, because once you're in touch with DL Link, you have so much available to you from them.
Yeah. As I said, we're going back to 2017, and I know that DL Link played really a huge role in supporting you and Chris during that time. But let's talk about Chris, let's talk about this extraordinary man who, unfortunately, you only shared a short period of your life with him, but it's almost as if you were meant to be together, that it was this incredible love affair, that there was something far greater at play. I mean, he even MacGyvered in that short period of time, which is amazing. So tell us about your Chris.
So, yes, Chris was an amazing individual. I mean, if you read the book, he was a very conflicted person in a lot of ways, but a wonderful person, a true creative. I mean, he was a creative writer for an advertising agency. He had had 4 books published in the UK in the 90s before I met him. And after he passed away, I even found the old Sunday Times magazines in a box of his, where he was on the cover saying the new Wilbur Smith. So when he said he wanted to write this book, it was actually the day we got the initial diagnosis from Prof. Dondi, and he was lying flat on his back on the table having the radiation mask molded to his face. And he said to me, please take pictures. I want to put it in my book. And that's where it started. And that's where he got the name, The Man Behind the Mask, for the book.
Wow. So Lynn, what was that like? You met Chris online, which I love to put out there, because look how love can be found in all sorts of unusual places. You put yourself, I know you had been married and you have 2 children and you were divorced, and so probably a lot of hesitation, but you found him and he found you. And, you know, within a shortish period of time, he asked you to marry him, and he said that he wanted to MacGyver. Tell us about that. I mean, this is a man from England, lived in South Africa, parents very much from the UK. Where do you think that came from?
So he said to me he had always been really interested in the Jewish religion. From the 3rd week I knew him, because I think he was sitting at my house, it was a Friday afternoon, and he said, you know, let's do something tonight. And I said, well, I'm always with my family on a Friday night for supper, for Shabbos dinner. And he said, well, can I come too? So I asked my sister-in-law, and it was fine. And from that date on, I think he came to almost every Friday night. And he just was so interested in the religion. He had, his second wife was actually married to a Jewish woman, so maybe some of that helped, you know, get the interest going. And when he, after he proposed, I think it was 2 days later, he said to me, you know, he wanted to convert to Judaism. He did speak to a Orthodox rabbi, and I don't think he could quite, you know, move along with what was required for an Orthodox conversion. And then he went to speak to the then Rabbi Jacobs at Beth David. And, I mean, I was amazed. I said to him, why? You know, he said, no, it's something he wants to do. So I joined him on the journey. I was born Orthodox. I went to every class with him. We went to shul every Friday night, Saturday morning. I think my family were amazed, because I was never a great shul goer. And I just got into it from a different aspect, you know, seeing the religion from his point of view, which was really quite something. And he embraced it wholeheartedly. He got stuck into all the assignments for the conversion. It was a very special occasion, and The Hebrew name he was given was Ofer when he finally finished the conversion.
Amazing, Lynn. Absolutely amazing. And you know, what I found so interesting when I read, you know, when you gave a bit of a brief history on Chris and his life, and what an adventurous soul he was, but that story about him being in an accident with his best friend and his girlfriend and losing both of them, and he himself getting this head injury and how that affected his life, and that he said that his soul left his body. And he must have explained that to you, because that you write about that, right? That his soul left his body, and that the message was he wanted to come back. He was given a choice, and the message was, if you come back, it's going to be difficult.
Yes, and his life was difficult. I mean, as you see what his brother writes in the foreword of the book, he did have a difficult life. But it's what he wanted. He certainly lived it to the full, from what I gather. The fact that we met after the life he had was quite incredible. As I explain in the book, when I met him online, I just found something about his face and what he had written just got my attention. And from the minute we met, that was it. But as you say, we didn't have very long together. I sometimes wonder if we were meant to be together just for us to go through that journey together, for me to help him through it. Not that that's what I wanted. I mean, it's left a huge gap in my life after he passed away. But can you believe it's 9.5 years already, but it's still very much there.
Yeah, just, it is extraordinary, because we don't know why these things happen. And as you say, it was this, you were just drawn together, and yet there were all these extraordinary things that happened. He came into your life, he converted, you got to revisit your religion in a different sort of way. You know, you got to nurse him, obviously sharing lots on that journey, and then land up writing the book. So that is, I mean, that is quite a pivotal moment in your life. Do you look back, Lynn, and think that you're a different person to the person before Chris came along?
Absolutely. I don't think anybody goes through this kind of experience without it changing them in some ways. It was probably the most impactful thing I've ever experienced, you know, from the first day when Chris had the first seizure out of the blue, right through the whole journey, which I detail in the book. It can't leave you the same person. I look at things differently. I definitely don't get irritated over the same things that I would before, because some of them just don't matter in the scheme of things. And strangely enough, my post-retirement career, I'm now working for a doctor who does mammograms and all of that, and I see an awful lot of breast cancer there. And it's definitely given me a lot more empathy with these people. You can really identify with what they're going through, and you see the partner sitting waiting for them to come out for having tests and what have you. That also has made a big difference. And it's quite weird how I land up working for a doctor who does this kind of thing and seeing as much cancer as I do.
Yeah. But I mean, you lost your mom to cancer. This is quite a journey you've been on. As you say, you're now working for a doctor, and then we call you and tell you to come back onto the show. So there's obviously, you know, the journey is there. It's the journey is there. So Lynn, what was the purpose, the reason behind writing the book, The Man Behind the Mask?
So there were two reasons. One, as I said, because I promised Chris I would write it. And mainly also because when he was first diagnosed, we looked for information, but we weren't looking for a medical journal. We were looking for other people's real life experiences, you know, as human beings, just as people, not as doctors. And I did find one book at the time, but my hope is that it helps other people going through it. You know, if you see what Chris went through, read about his side effects, see how I found things. Maybe hopefully people can identify with it, can feel, okay, this is normal, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing, it's quite normal, you know, I mustn't beat myself up over it. I just hope it can help other people.
Yeah, well, you now know it has. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying, you now know it has. That's how Monica DeSantos came across your book, and it changed her life. She, you know, we did a whole show on the impact that DL Link has had on her life, and that comes from you and ultimately from Chris. So that, you know, and I wonder how many other people have been impacted by that. And that's the thing about life. I was chatting to someone about the ripple effect in life, and one small little act, and preferably an act of kindness, can have such a huge effect. And, you know, writing this book, this, which was not a small act at all, it was huge, but what are the ripple effects and how many people? And so I'm sure it's wonderful for you to know that.
It is. It certainly is. And I mean, you talk about things coming full circle and coincidences. I mean, right throughout the book, I mentioned three major coincidences that brought us to one of them, which you know, brought us to DL Link. You know, Chris advertised a coffee table on one of the local forums, and Michelle Goodman phoned him to, you know, to inquire about it. And Chris was a very chatty guy. They got talking, and she told him about what she does because he mentioned the brain tumor. And that's how we got to DL Link. So, you know, and even, you know, a month later when he was having brain surgery, I was waiting for him at Santon Clinic. I bumped into an ex-work colleague who said to me, well, when you want to work again, here's my business card. I would never have thought of him or got in touch with him. And that's how I found work, you know, for 5 years before I had to retire. So, yeah, these things do work in funny ways.
And what was the other one, the other coincidence?
The one was when he had the seizure after we went back to his psychiatrist, because he was taking medication for bipolar. And apparently they had changed the medication a couple of months or a few weeks before he had the seizure. And the previous medication would have apparently suppressed seizures. And once they changed it, it allowed the seizure to occur, which meant it was diagnosed sooner than it may have been, which is also a good thing because we did have a fairly good 20 months, although the last few were not great, but at least he had time. You know, with this kind of glioblastoma tumor, generally people live maybe 12 months, depending on the kind of treatment they have. There is no cure for it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that is extraordinary. Those are three extraordinary coincidences. And that's why I wanted to bring in, you know, Chris's accident and this near-death experience. And because the theme is there, the theme of sometimes we don't know and sometimes something is happening for us, even when it's not what we may be asking for, but there's something at play. And did you and Chris talk a lot about that, Lynn?
You know, not really. Every time he tried to really talk about the actual illness, the tumor, and what the prognosis was, which we were told up front, he would get quite emotional. And I just from day one put one foot in front of the other and did what needed to be done. And Chris couldn't keep up the admin around appointments and trying to get medical aid approvals and stuff. So I'm quite practical and I just got into it and did what had to be done. I think he spoke to his brother a lot. He spoke to his group of supporters and friends that he dealt with AA, you know, because he became a counselor for AA. And I think he got his support from them. I mean, I gave him a different kind of support. And he wrote in his blogs, you know, about he couldn't get through this without me. But I think he got a lot of support from other people as well. I think if I'd gotten too emotional, I wouldn't have been able to cope with anything at the time.
Yeah, yeah. In the book as well, you put some of his blogs there. But I hope you don't mind if I just read something. And this is, he wrote 15 months before his diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And it's A New Journey Begins. And he says, there are certain things you can control. and others that are in the hands of your higher power. Often outside forces catapult us forwards into another dimension, a new road. You can either start walking or stand around, resisting change. Change is the most positive force in our lives, as long as we embrace it and accept that we do not have the control. Our ability to respond rather than react is key. We have free will. We can choose how we respond. I accept a new road that I am on. I walk forwards with courage, knowing that my high power is with me and that the path to self-actualization is now open. As I said, that was 15 months before his diagnosis. That's pretty extraordinary, Lynn.
It is. He seemed, there were one or two throughout the book with those blogs. It's almost like he foretold the future. Something told him there was something coming. I don't know. But yeah, it really was.
Yeah. Maybe you can just share, after Chris had met Michelle over a coffee table, maybe you can just share your relationship with the DL Link during that time.
So we got involved with DL Link before they moved to the new premises. And I believe that was also their second move. And we got involved with a Hoping is Coping course. We actually did it twice. The first week, Professor Dondi was the oncologist who joined us there for the meeting. And there was a dietitian. There were a couple of different people. And we met people going through the same thing, a couple of which I kept in touch with long after they had lost their partners. The support for Chris was amazing. A couple of times, you know, when I did go back to work and I couldn't do a lift to a treatment, they would do one of them. They would deliver colors. I remember he spent two nights in hospice when the tumor was growing and we couldn't control the seizures at home. So they admitted him to hospice. And the two young ladies from DL Link arrived with this massive Superman made out of balloons for him. That's just the type of thing. They're just there to support. You know, I have a friend currently who's ill with leukemia, and they've been amazing with her as well, you know, with wigs and whatever else, you know, you need. They really are an incredible organization.
They are. They really do make a huge difference in people's lives. Not just the cancer warriors, but yes, as you say, the family, the support system. So, Lynn, you've said that you are, these 9.5 years later, you wrote this book hoping that it would impact someone. You've come onto the show and you've got to hear that firsthand. Monica came onto the show and spoke about how it had impacted her. And that you're working for a doctor, you know, so you're in this oncology cancer space. How else is life looking for you?
Well, it's changed a lot. I mean, I had to retire at 60, which happened to be in the first week of lockdown. So finding work wasn't an option for a while. I did spend, you know, and then I lost my mum after Chris died, 6 weeks after Chris died. So my dad was alone. I did spend a lot of time, you know, doing what I could for him and his carer. And I was incredibly bored. I've never not worked. And I'll just let it be known that I'd pretty much do anything because my previous career was in IT security compliance. I'm now working as a receptionist for a doctor. And when the opportunity came up, I grabbed it and I love it. I mean, you meet all sorts of interesting people. It gets me out the house. I have not met anybody or, you know, have any ideas of getting together with anyone else. I don't know that I can open myself up to it again. You know, you're scared of losing someone again. But who knows? Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. You never know, Lynn. Not that this has anything to do with it, but I did want to read this, and I'm sure you love this, when Chris wrote about miracles. And he says, there is a certain stage in life where going forward seems impossible, where change is implausible. Perhaps you're facing death or great personal loss. In such situations, miracles are possible, but only if you believe in them. In our world, there are miracles occurring every day. However, if you don't look out for them, you'll never see them. All life is miraculous, if only we could realize it. As you say, the way he saw the world, Lennon, so beautifully captured in this book, and I really do encourage people, the man behind the mask, the story about Chris, his journey, your journey with him, written by you. If people want to get a copy of this, how can they get their hands on it, Lynn?
So you can get it as an ebook on Amazon. I actually had it loaded together with his books. And you can also get a printed copy. Any photos would be in black and white, though, but it is on Amazon. I have a couple of printed versions, but I didn't print a lot.
And Chris's other 5 books as well that he wrote.
Yes, they're all.
The New Wilbur Smith, he was coined.
Correct. And they're all on Amazon, yes.
Wonderful. You get to read his stories over and over. Lynn, thank you so much. All these years later, coming back onto the show. And a reminder, I'm going to repeat it, that the small things that we do, and this was not small, it was a big thing, they do impact people. And sometimes not immediately, sometimes years later. So thank you for that, Lynn. So lovely having you on the show. Take care and God bless.
Thank you for having me back.